Moncrief on News Talk.
Welcome back to the Moncrief Show with Stephanie Preisner in for Sean all this week. Now, it's Thursday. I nearly said it was Wednesday, but it's Thursday. So that means our So You Think You're an Adult segment is underway. I'm going to give you the text line because this segment is always controversial. I never agree with what anyone is saying and I always want to text in, but nobody ever reads my text messages. So here we go. 087 1400 106.
This is going to be...
It's free. Text us. I'm going to welcome to the studio Declan Buckley, Mary McAvoy.
Thank you, Steph.
Welcome. Chomping at the bit now. Dying to say something controversial that you'll hate.
Yeah, I'm always like, no, guys, you're giving terrible advice.
No, because it's the title of the thing is So You Think You're an Adult. Not
but they're talking about
I'm
you.
Oh, really? How long have I been doing this? I thought you're the one who's meant to be the adult. Okay. You being the listener.
Okay, listeners. Let me know if you agree with what the guys are saying. Here is our first problem. I have recently had a falling out with a friend who has been in my life on and off for 16 years. Down through the years, we worked together, travelled a lot, and for a while we were practically living in each other's pockets. This girl had a difficult upbringing and a string of bad relationships which resulted in her getting divorced and then going out with more unsuitable men over the past few years. Her life is full of constant drama. When we were friends, I felt it was always one-sided. She was very outspoken and forceful, whereas I'm more of a private person and I hate conflict and drama. After years of her being in my life, I really found her company to be stressful and I dreaded meeting her. For my own sanity, I took a step back from her and I did things myself with other friends. Last week, she confronted me and said I was an awful friend, that I hadn't been there for her during the year throughout her latest breakup, and that I was all for myself. The truth is, she's probably right. In a way, I'm glad she's not in my life as much, but I feel so sad about how things have ended. I don't know how to deal with this or if I should apologise to her. The thing is, I did want her less in my life and now I've got that. I just feel awful the way our friendship has ended after all these years, but I wish she could see that she wasn't the easiest person to be around either and I needed to take a step back from her. Was this really selfish of me? Mary, go.
Yes, it's selfish, but congratulations for being selfish, because you need to be selfish in a situation like that. I think there are friendships that run their course. Mm-hmm. There are friendships with certain vibes around them where you are the... I can see it in her eyes. She's getting ready to disagree with me. there are friendships that have certain power balances in them, or not balanced even. And this lady, to me, the friend, seems like a drama queen, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not the letter writer's fault that she had a bad upbringing or that she, you know, picks unsuitable men. And I think just the friendship has run its course. And this lady is, I would have said to that lady, well, I wouldn't have said it because I'd be too scared to say it because I'm an awful scaredy cat. But when she says that she's very self, the letter friend
yeah.
Said to the letter writer that she's very selfish and she's not a good friend, I would say, look in the mirror, because she's actually pointing out stuff about herself. Mm-hmm. She's not pointing out, this lady seems to have, or I don't know whether it's a woman or a man, seems to have really been quite saintly in the last, however long the
drama's been going on.
The friendship stroke drama has been going on. And the other thing is, you've got what you want now. You've less to, let her blow herself out and just don't react to her. Don't just be civil. Don't react to her. And she'll either, which I doubt very much, will cop herself on mm-hmm. and realise that, she is difficult to deal with, or she'll just go her own sweet way. And one way or the other, I don't think you should feel bad, because to me, I mean, every story has two sides. But to me, it seems this person who wrote the letter is the sort of mainstay of the friendship, and that if she wasn't as kind of accommodating as she was, it would have gone years ago. That's my point. Now, go on.
Well, okay. Do you agree with that? Because I don't.
Okay, you go then. Okay. No, you're.
Yes, I knew I'd hook you in with that one.
No, I'll speak third. Okay. You go second.
Right, okay. So, I kind of do. I agree with you in the essence of what you're saying, but I think a couple of things. One is I think she should feel bad, because I think when relationships run their course, you've invested time in getting to know and care about somebody, and if suddenly that relationship changes in a way that you no longer have that same closeness, that is worthy of that sad feeling. And that's all that's happening, is that this person is going through a kind of a process of grieving for lost love or lost friendship, whatever. The other thing about the dynamics of relationships is sometimes you can be in a very well-functioning relationship where people behave in totally different ways. That people are, one person can be very, for lack of a better way of describing it, very outgoing and extrovert, and the other person can be very introvert, and with those characteristics come somebody who's very fiery and loud, and the other person might have more sort of calming or nurturing kind of, you know, behaviours, and those things can often work very well together, but they also come with other characteristics that can bring different dynamics to a relationship, like what seems to have happened here, where that, you know, this other woman who seems to have a lot of drama going on in their lives, which could be just a judgment on our letter writer's perception, you know, it could be just on their part that's just a judgment, or actually maybe they are the drama, but regardless, they have a lot of drama going on in their life, and they're also demanding the attention. So it's all about me, give me the attention. Previously, that might have been fine. Now, this other person, for various reasons, maybe it's because of repeated heartbreak over the way that things have been in that relationship, or because people do change, maybe that person has changed and they've grown in a way to realise this is not for me. Whether it's right or wrong is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we're all individual people with different needs. You have to get your needs met from the people who you're closest to. And if they don't, you either have to try to get the need met, or you need to get that need met from somewhere else. And with friendships, sometimes the dramatic way to end a friendship is the worst way to end a friendship, because the best way to end to change a friendship is to just dial it down
not necessarily peter it out, but to dial it down a notch.
And if the other person doesn't realise why that's happening, then they don't see what your needs are. And then that makes it kind of, then that's kind of bringing it up another level towards it, or bringing it down another level towards a kind of a ultimate kind of ending. But I think what happened here is that the one slight action that this letter writer seems to have made caused, you know, recriminations, and, you know, that seems to be disproportionate. So I think that in a way...
We can only go by what the letter...
But it seems to me that from the evidence that we've been given, the person seems to have described a situation that seems to be consistent, that their actions are warranted and the consequence is sad.
But we don't actually know what the actions are. She said, I took a step back from my own sanity and started hanging out with other friends. But were those other friends mutual friends? Did you just siphon off a girl or a woman? Because that's not me. My take on this is that you ghosted your friend.
You
just started cutting her out, and that might be fine, but I would have preferred to be like, listen, I'm going to just take a step back from this.
But Stephanie, I think sometimes there are people, and I would have certain experience in this, that are not going to accept
dial it back for a minute.
But if you're in a relationship, again, we're down to the power dynamics in a relationship. You're in a relationship with somebody, a friendship with somebody who is very forceful and even charismatic and amazing, who doesn't hear you.
Yeah.
And they're like, and part of the reason you love them is because they make you feel great, but they still don't hear you.
Yeah.
And you're going, well, actually, this is actually ultimately not making me feel good because you're not hearing me. To try then to speak your words to them isn't going to work because they don't hear you.
Yeah.
So, and again, you also mentioned in your own intro there, Mary, you said you're a bit of a scaredy cat, and a lot of people are afraid of conflict and they don't want conflict. So, and that's kind of what's happened here, is that the situation kind of evolved negatively because conflict wasn't managed early with that's not the way I want to be treated.
Yeah.
Instead, it ended like, it's too late now. The friendship is...
We have so many texts coming in on this. How would your texter feel if a friend cut her out when she needed someone the most? Another text message. I had a very similar friend that I had to remove from my life. It's heartbreaking when some friends don't accept that you need space. Why is your one making such a big deal out of cutting out a friend? If it was such an issue, then she should be happy that her friend is gone. I'm all for cutting toxic friends out, but this woman sounds like she's being a drama queen about her friend's drama. Maybe she should look in the mirror. If you cut your friend out, just move on.
Okay, but that's clear.
That was a bit mixed bag of ideas.
Very clear. Yeah.
But isn't it the thing, like, okay, if I think what's going on in your life is very dramatic, I have two choices. One is to kind of be a little bit ambivalent or not interested, or I can kind of sit down there and listen to you. And sometimes it can be... if that's the way, because we all love to be the center of attention. So, it's, you know, and if that's the way that this the other friend is getting the attention in the relationship, maybe that's what's happening now, is that you want to go, no, I can't do this anymore. I can't. Yeah. It's a drain having to listen to the way it was presented, another breakup.
You see, that's it. It's a repeating. It's not just, it's not just one heartbreak. It's one after the other.
But that's also probably hard for your one who's experiencing the heartbreak.
Well, I know, but you can't just, I don't think you,
like, live her life for her.
Yeah, you can't. Like, if you know, I'm not, you know, being, what's the word, down on the on your woman. Well, I kind of am.
Yeah, you are, Mary.
I actually am. Because I just, to me, what comes across is there is extremely hard work. And eventually you just kind of go, look, I can't do it anymore. And as I say, certain when it happened to me, I would, if I said, listen, we're going to dial it back, I would have got practically a solicitor's letter. So I kind of just, I didn't ghost, I just dwindled away. And I don't think they particularly missed me out of their life in the end.
We have another text. Both of these women sound as bad as each other. Imagine the other friend in the group. They have to put up, the other friends in the group, they have to put up with this rubbish. Girls are just so horrible to each other.
Oh my God, mean girls. We wear pink on Wednesdays.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next question. Keep the text coming in. Before we start, I know that this is just as much my issue as it is my wife's. The problem is she is an incredibly messy person when it comes to cooking. I, on the other hand, am a clean as you go sort of person. If a pot can be reused, I'll do that. And by the time I'm finished cooking, I have most of the cleanup done. However, my wife somehow manages to use every utensil in the cupboard along with every pot and pan she can lay her hands on. On top of that, she manages to spill food everywhere. She takes the term backsplash, splash back, literally. Sometimes it takes me longer to clean up after her cooking than it actually took her to cook. I just don't know how she did it. But the other day she used a pot, a pan, a jug, along with three different utensils to cook scrambled eggs, put the mess she left on the hob and the counter after buttering the toast. In general, she's very clean. We share the cleaning, share the cooking, but it bugs me so much when I see the mess she manages to make. I've mentioned it to her a few times and she is aware of how much it gets to me. I don't want to seem ungrateful for everything she does, but this is just something that really bugs me. Any advice on how I could resolve the issue would be greatly appreciated.
All you're getting out of me is name, rank and serial number.
What do you mean?
That's all you're getting from me on this one.
Oh, you're saying nothing?
I know, I will eventually. Go okay. on.
Is that because you're a messy cook?
No, as clean as I go.
Okay, yeah. Look, okay, what I want to know about this situation is this man, I think it's a man, is he standing behind
watching
as she cooks? Cause, or are, have they made the really foolish mistake of separating the daily cooking and cleaning roles into you cook, I'll clean? Because if that's what he's done, he's made a huge mistake, because she's getting the benefit of his clean as he go. And then, you know, and then he has to come in after her and clean the kitchen. But if he's not having to come in and clean after the kitchen and she's cleaning up her own mess.
No, I get the sense that he's cleaning up after her.
Stupid. That's then I go, change your rotate. Then go, listen, you know, that's.
You cook on a Monday and you clean.
You clean, yeah, I know.
And I'll cook and clean on the same day.
And then. If she notices that he's sitting down to watch Nationwide while she's still cleaning up while the 9 o'clock news is on for several days in a row, she might recognize that maybe his system is better. If he's just trying to sell her on the system, that's the way to work. If he has OCD or some kind of like, you know, because it seems a little bit controlling to be going, do it my way, do it my way. Well, or it seems a little bit kind of neurotic to be like, I can't cope with there being any splash on the splashback.
Yeah.
It's called a splashback because sometimes it splashes.
Well, you know. I think that again, if I sound extremely old-fashioned, in my day...
In my day,
like, that, you know, this seems to me, it's usually the woman who cleans as they go and the man who uses everything because they think that they're Gordon Ramsay or, you know, Jamie Oliver or someone else like that. And I think I'm a hybrid. I am a clean as you go, but I'm also extremely messy. Yeah. And I can't help it. I'm just messy. I have tried very hard not to be messy and I am messy. To be honest with you, what I would say here is, Jesus, there's worse things to be getting your knickers in a twist about than this. I really do, you know.
What about the food? What does the food taste like?
Well, if the food tastes great, usually the food tastes great, you forget everything. But I just think, look, I only nearly said the F word.
France.
For France's sake. Just chill already. Have a just a relaxed conversation about it. Do you know, and just said, he's awful messy in the kitchen.
Would but he, I think he's done that.
Yeah. And but then what's she going? What's he going to do? Is he going to leave her because she's messy?
Do you we know, have a text
gonna
here.
Going to get divorced because he's messy.
Text in. Dump her. Just yeah, dump her. Well, anyone who makes a mess with a cook is clearly mad.
Well, there you go. There you go. I wouldn't I be right if I said nothing?
I think that a lot of people who've worked in restaurants are really messy cook. They're like the yeah. professionals are really messy because the process is you slam all, you use yeah. all the things, you make the creation and then it's somebody else's job to clean up.
And also I think that in my experience, a messy cook can be a very good cook because all they're thinking about is the taste of what they're doing. So, you know, they'll take out a pan to parboil something and then they'll do something else and then they'll put something in the grill and da 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 da. But they will they'll make every effort to make it taste really good. And I think that's laudable, do you know?
Also going as you go. The thing is, they're cooking while they go because they're, you know,
yeah,
they're,
yeah.
Whereas if you've got a plan in your head about how it's going to happen, then you can clean as you go.
Yeah.
If you're making the same thing all the time and you're still making a big mess.
Yeah. That's do you want to paint by numbers? Do you want to paint by numbers or be Picasso?
Here we'll,
this is the thing.
And here's an ad for HelloFresh. Billy from Galway says, this guy needs to build a bridge and get over it. So what? It's only dishes. They're easy to clean. Just stop being such a whingy baby.
Do they have dishwasher?
I don't know, Mary. I only have the same information that you have. And another text.
A photograph of their kitchen.
I wish yes, I could please. Join a support group with this husband, except my partner is like a tornado in every room in the house. P.S. I don't mean a tornado in a sexual sense. I don't know what a sexual tornado is.
Wow.
And another one. This angers me so much. My kids always give out to me for not cleaning as I cook. I feel like telling them to move out if they want to do it their way. I think if it's your kids, yeah, absolutely. But I do think that your suggestion of cooking and cleaning on the same day after yourself is probably the best way
yeah,
to do this.
Because that way people can have their own system and then they deal with their own consequences.
My husband does most of the cleaning in our house, but I do find when I'm cleaning, I stick on a podcast like it's a joy to clean. I'm like, okay, you do bedtime, I'll do cleaning.
I just love washing up. Like, you know, when I was a kid, we didn't have a dishwasher in our house when I was a young kid and I wouldn't do the other pre-cooking chores. I didn't like cooking, whatever, but the washing up would be like grand. I'd be there for hours listening
I'm
to the
grand
radio.
On a Saturday because I'll put on either News Talk or if there's a game.
There's no
on.
Other radio station.
I know there isn't. Or if Marty Morrissey. And I will listen to sport and I love listening to sport. And after I will wash every dish in the universe.
Twice.
And I will cook, you know, foie gras and souffles to beat the band.
Oh.
But if I just have to do it,
yeah.
To do it, I hate it.
We have an angry text about you, Declan.
Oh, great.
This husband is not OCD. That term is overused and it's abused. Clean as you go is just called normal. Messy people are selfish and childish.
Wow.
The husband should make an equal and identical mess and let her clean it up.
Well, I take your point, but I just want to clarify, when I was mentioning OCD, what I specifically said was if there was a kind of an
neurosis.
Neurotic reaction, that it could be a sign of something like OCD. So I wasn't saying that the idea being messy.
You can say nothing these days anyway.
No, people have jumped on. That's somebody else, another woke.
That was actually just me texting it.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Declan, you're going to love
it. How did you do that? How did you text in without moving your hands?
I didn't. I was joking. Okay. That's an actual listener. We have actual listeners, you know.
Oh, well.
How many?
Nobody tells me anything.
Hi, guys. I recently started dating a guy. The first couple of dates were great crack. I've never laughed so much. It was obviously fairly early doors that there was a serious spark. I normally have a 4-date rule before having sex, but the second date went so well that I decided to go back to his. When we got down to doing bits, things went awfully. His foreplay skills were clunky, rigid and kind of painful. Without going into details, his fingernails are a bit too long and every time he did something with them, it hurt. If I asked him to kiss my neck, he'd just give me a peck and move on. There wasn't a whole pile of rhythm about it. I'm just wondering, does your panel think that it might be possible for someone to improve at this skill? Foreplay for me is better than the actual act, and if I'm not enjoying it, I'm not enjoying the sex. How do I approach this with him? Because if it continues, it's a deal breaker for me, even though he's an amazing person. Hands up, who wants to go first? Mary?
I'll go first. Because
I'll finish.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Delighted.
I think he can be taught. I think he can be taught. I think if
when would you bring it up though?
Well, I'd bring it up the next time I go to bed with him. I'd say, now hang on a second. I'd just sit him down and tell him and just say, look, exactly as you said, foreplay is very important to me. I don't like being scratched with long fingernails. You know, and you know, when I say kiss my neck, I don't mean a peck and all of that. Show him what you want. If he doesn't want to do it, then that's a deal breaker. But he might really enjoy it. Maybe he's just clunky anyway. He probably shouldn't let him into the kitchen either, I suppose. Yeah. But I he can be taught. He can be taught, and it could be fun to be taught. Do you know? And you know, she could just, well, she I don't know what they identify as, but like, it's I think, you know, just say it to him. Say, I'm not enjoying it, and. Would you? But I know we could enjoy
would
it.
You could,
and we have
you should,
such
yeah.
a great vibe.
Draw wouldn't diagram.
It be, yeah. Wouldn't it be great if our sexual life extended to from that vibe? You know.
Yeah.
So and our but if you don't shape up, feck off.
No, I think with especially the beginning of relationships, people are very reluctant to turn the kind of the passion and the spontaneity into
a tutorial
conversations. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Into these kind of, or a tutorial. I think that people want to believe that everything kind of just happens. Yo, it's so amazing. You know, we all just fit together gloriously. But the reality is that no, there's always kind of like teething
moments. Problems.
Yeah. I think with this person, I think first point, yes, I totally agree with you. I think that, you know, people not can be taught. I think that people grow to be more kind of simpatico with each other, you know, because.
And is it like a head on conversation, or does she just say like, ooh, let's go and get like couples manicures. And get the nails cut without identifying the issue.
You know, or, you know, the way, well, my friend Chloe was saying she got an awful cut off. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, I think with the conversations, I don't think the straight talking, this is how, what I want kind of thing is as romantic or as encouraging as talking about, you know, I really like when you do this, but there's an element of blah, 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 and that kind of upset
me. Yeah, I wouldn't mean a critique. I wouldn't mean a critique of his
thing. Yeah. You
know, but just say, you know, can we just... you know, take it slower or whatever.
So
this
instead
great,
of like,
spin it out a bit.
Instead of saying, I don't like this, just pretend that hasn't happened. Be like, do you know what I really like?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You reckon?
Or yeah. And that can be a random conversation.
Positive reinforcement.
You know what I really love? Oh, I love getting my neck kissed. Yeah. You know, or just dropping into a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Or, you know, I can still thinking about that kiss you get. And even if it's not true, I'm still thinking about the way you kissed me on my neck.
Yeah. But he's going to be like, but I just pecked her, so I'll just keep doing that. Like,
no,
a little.
He won't remember. He thinks he's Studley man delivery of all things sexual. He won't care. And by the way, even if he does, he goes, oh, she's giving me a hint, but it's done in such a thoughtful and kind way.
And also maybe he's just blinking nervous and he's, you know, and he's...
And were they out? Was he, you know, a few...
No, she said he went back to his.
After.
Fumbly.
Where's he fumbly and clunky because he's had 10 points of whatever. So
I think, I do notice too that people tend to go very straight... that if the sex isn't working, the relationship can't work. But actually, if you look at it the other way, if the relationship works, the sex can work.
Yes, and nothing gets better because it's all about open communication and trust.
Yeah.
Trusting each other is what I was going to say.
Yeah. We have a text here that says that there are instructional videos online.
For manicures.
I don't think manicures, no. There are instructional videos online, or you could bring him to the zoo to observe the monkeys being tender to each other. What do you reckon about that, Declan?
Well, you know, if she has.
Do you think they should watch instructional videos together?
Just stand up and go.
Aww. Well, you know, obviously primates can be very affectionate to each other, but they also can get quite aggressive. So I wouldn't be suggesting that as a course.
They can get quite aggressive in the instructional videos too.
Okay, well, maybe some people are into that. There's a whole BDSM community in Ireland. Shout out to my people.
I think all she wants is for him to file his nails. Like,
well, you know, get him a nail file, you know.
And
again, these things, they don't have to be connected in his head. She could just go, oh, you know, what's that on your nail? And then move off. You know,
and I think you can be quite tender when you are saying, you know, could you do it this way? Or I don't really quite.
The question is, do you say it in the bed or do you say it over dinner? Listen, I know we're going to do this later. Or do you just say like, hey, you know what you're currently doing? Can we do it a different way?
Yeah.
Like, is it talking during?
I think so. I think, again, I think that's down to the individual couple because, you know, there are some people who aren't at that level of they don't want the lights on kind of level in the relationship yet. And so, you know, you have to judge that for yourself. But I do think that saying things that are positive about your experiences so far are, you know, they're reinforcing the good things. And then you can slide in, you know, oh, and, you know, but you did, I got an awful bruise off one of your nails.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Someone says you can always tell when someone is really enjoying themselves. You hear the deep breath. He should know if he's not hearing it, that she's not enjoying it. And then someone else is really annoyed with us who says, OFFS, tell him. If he's interested in her, he'll do whatever he wants. She wants to keep her happy. I don't know.
Well, only if...
See, some people have this idea that people will do whatever they want for somebody else.
Yeah,
but that's, you know,
that's not true. It's not true.
But also, like, you know, how you deliver the message is important. Yeah. You can't bruise his ego.
Well, you know, stand outside his workplace with it written on a placard.
Get your nails cut.
That's why I say tender communication is, the, you know, kind of honesty, but not in your face. Like, not...
Would you write him a letter?
No.
Would you send in a text?
I sent it, yeah, WhatsApp. No, I think... In bed, just, you know, just say, you know, in every stage, you know, just not correcting him. But I think this sort of tender reinforcement and so I really do think.
We have a great text here now. Bring a third party in to demonstrate with her what should be done.
You can get that. You can get sex instructors.
I don't think that that's what they're suggesting, Mary.
Yeah, they're like just open.
And also a sex instructor.
Yeah.
You're suggesting that these people hire
Mary's been to the continent. She's seen things with her eyes.
I was in Paris for a night. No, honestly, I think...
I don't think they need sex instructors. I think they just need honest communication and a manicurist. And that's the end of it. And that's all we have time for. And if anybody else wants really bad advice,
thank you.
Very bizarre questions.
Tune in next
week. Send them in to,
we'd love to
what's
hear
the email? Afternoonnewstalk.com. Yeah, great. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for your faith in us, Stephanie. Yeah, it was great. Really reinforcing.
You did agree with some of what we said, though, deep down, didn't you? You did.
I did.
I can see it in your eyes.
I did. I'm just really glad that I don't have so few friends that I have to text a radio station to get advice.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.